Shchodesh Teves, Bov Chanukah, 30th of December, Rabbi Daniel Schoenfeld, Dream Payments.
You'll have to listen and find out.
Perhaps I should have read the Dreams and Payments.
All right.
We're in the middle of all the parshas of dreams. We've had Yaakov Avinu's dream, we've had Yosef's two dreams, we've had the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Oifim. And this week we're at Paro's dream, so I thought it was apt to speak a little bit about dreams. I'll come from that angle a bit of Chosh Mishpat. It comes, surprisingly, it does come into Chosh Mishpat a little bit, and hopefully elaborate on the subject in general. I'd like to pose a question. If there are any thoughts or comments, please feel free. I'll ask the question generally, and perhaps as I move along, we'll get a bit more specific. In general, the question is, Reuven buys from Shimon a house or a car or anything, and he's given time to pay. He doesn't have to pay immediately, he's given a month to pay. When the month comes up, Reuven doesn't have any money. He has nothing to pay with. And he tells Shimon, listen, can I have a bit more time to pay for what I've bought? And Shimon says, no, I need the money now. I've got other commitments. I need to have my money now. Reuven says, listen, I've got one thing I can pay you with. And that's the thing I bought for you, the car or the house or whatever. So I can't retract on the whole deal because we did a kinyan, kedasu kedin, we did, if it was karka, we did kesef shtar and chazoka, metaltalim, we did mashicha, whatever was necessary we did. I can't go back on the kinyan, but I'd like to pay you with the goods you gave me. Can Reuven do that? Sorry? Same, yeah, it's worth the same, let's say. Does that make a difference?
He's got the effort coming to lose.
Can he pay back? He just wants to give back the same thing. He bought a car, he says, I don't have money, here's your car back. That's payment for it. Shimon obviously says, I don't want my car, I want money. You go sell the car. I've sold my car, right? I expect money in return. You go and sell the car and give me the money. Or go get a job and get some money and pay me. Why should I take back the car? That's shaila number one. Shaila number two on a slightly smaller scale, but built on the same yisoid. Is a butcher, a baker, a fish shop, whatever it is, has workers working the fish, working on the meat, working on the bread, working on the fish, whatever it is, on the meat, and he wants to pay his worker before Shabbos, and he doesn't have any money, he doesn't have any cash at hand, but he's happy to give chickens, he's happy to give fish, he's happy to give the bread as payment. And the worker says, listen, I want cash. I want to choose what I buy with what food I buy for Shabbos. He says, well, you're going to buy bread anyway, right? You're going to buy chickens anyway. You're going to buy... Take this at hand. This shaila comes up sometimes with what are called these gemachim, these chesed organizations, where people work for them, and they can't give grants. They can't give a charity money to the people who are working for them. People who are working for them are not eligible for the charity. If you paid from the charity, so they'll offer to pay them with the things that they're working with. Let's say they spend a day packing meals for needy people. So they'll say, listen, you take two boxes and will that do as a payment? That's the second question. Now, generally in the Torah we find in Kiddushin, if you want to get married, you don't have to pay with money. Shove kesef ke kesef, you can pay with anything, right? We don't get married with money, we get married with a ring. That's learned from a klal of prata klal. Similarly, kidin aben doesn't have to be done with money, even though it's often done with those old English silver coins. It's not because of the money. It's done because that's the right weight of silver. It's done as shavah kesef. It's also learned from a klal of prata klal. Similarly, a mazik, damages, can be paid, don't have to be paid in cash, can be paid at any shavah kesef. That's a posuk. Yoshev the rabbis. How about halvor? Somebody borrows money. Do they have to pay back in money? So the Gemara says, or Rabbeinu Tam learns from the Gemara, it's brought in toasters a number of places, that halva has to be paid in cash. You've got money, you jolly well give back money. Can't pay off with shavah kesef. However, says Rabbeinu, that's only lechatchila. What happens if the borrower doesn't have any money? He's got no money. Can he pay off with shavah kesef? So Rabbeinu Tam, he can. He doesn't have to go and work. He doesn't have to go and sell what he has to get money. He can pay off with what he has, with his household goods that he has. He doesn't have to go and find money if he has. Of course, he has to pay with the money. Okay, moving on to Poyel, our case. A worker. The second Shaila, the worker who wants to be paid with chickens or whatever it is. A worker. Says Rabbeinu Tam, there, that is different to all the other cases. A worker has to be paid cash and cash only. I mean, whatever. cash or bank transfer, however it will be, but can't be used shove kesef, because a worker, he expects money, he wants to buy things with his money, it has to be only money. If the employer doesn't have any money, he has to sell what he has, or he has to go and get, borrow money, has to go and get money to pay off his worker. If so, it would seem that a worker, game over, right? That's it. You have to pay with money, nothing to talk about. However, and this is where the dreams come in, the Maharal Mirottenberg had a dream. This Maharal Mirottenberg is brought in the Smaach Hoshem Mishpat in Simshin Lamed Vav. And he had a dream, and the Bala Chalom came to him. The Bala Chalom is mentioned also in Rashi, as we'll see later in the Gemara. The Bala Chalom in the Zoya is said to be the Malach Gavriel. And he came to the Maharal Mirottenberg. And he told Maharal Mirottenberg that the Gemara and Rabbeinu Tam and everyone who said that a worker has to be paid with money, that Gemara is talking about where the employer wants to give him cash for tevan, wants to give him inedible things. He wants to give him objects, articles. But if the employer wants to give food, if he wants to give food, that's a different story. Food, of course you can give, says the Bala Chalom. You can give him food. Why? Because anyway, what's he going to buy with his money? He's going to buy food, right? So go give him food with his money. There's no reason to give him cash, sorry? Frek the Shach. Very nice, Smiley. You're bringing down this Maharal Mirottenberg, which is brought in the Modcha. Very nice. But we have Gemaras, which say not like that. He doesn't bring Loi B'Shamayim. He brings a different Gemara. Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin discusses an apotropos. Yisomim of Yisomim Kitanim, who have an apotropos, is looking after the estate. And they're wondering, and the apotropos is wondering what to do with the estate. What should he do with the things? Should he sell them? Should he not? He doesn't want to sell them because they want to keep them for investments to go up in price of land. Goes to Rameah, and Rameah says, no, don't sell. There's no reason to sell. Rameah that night has a dream. Rameah in the Gemara has a dream. And he understands the dream to mean that something bad's going to happen to this estate. Something bad's going to happen to the Nechosim, and they should be sold. Rameah wakes up and tells the apotropos, I had a dream, but you should know we're not selling it. Why am I not selling it? Because divrei chalomus, matters of a dream, lo malim v'lo meridim, make no difference. We pay no attention to dreams. That's Gemara in Gittin, says a shach. If so, Maharal Mirottenberg, why are you relying on a dream to Paskin that you can be paid with food, that an employee can be paid with food? Question number one. The same machlokas between the Maharal Mirottenberg and the Shach is early on in Choshen Mishpat in Shin Lamed Gimel. There are more Paskins that if a teacher becomes ill through no fault of his own, an oynest, he's ill, but he can't show up to work, he can't show up and can't teach, he doesn't need to be paid for the time he's missing. However, if he's been prepaid, at the beginning of the term you've paid your school fees and the teacher doesn't show up, and no substitute, then the teacher need not return the money he's been given. Says the Maharal Mirottenberg, how does he know it? He doesn't know why. He has no svara to be mechalek whether he has been paid or he hasn't been paid. If he didn't show up, he doesn't deserve the money. But, so says the Bala Chalomis, he came to him a dream and told him this chiluk, that if you haven't paid the teacher yet, you don't need to pay. If you've already paid the teacher and he becomes ill and doesn't show up, he doesn't need to return the money. He can keep it. Says the Shach, again, asks the same question, but this time from a different Gemara, not from the Gemara in Gittin. He asks from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, discusses a father who died. A father died and left a Yerusha for the son. But the son knows there's a bit more money lying somewhere. He knows his father's put his son money somewhere, and he's worrying where this money is. He doesn't know where it is. And his father comes to him in a dream and says, you should know the money is under such and such a tree. But, have you do it, that money you can't use because it's tzedakah money or it's Maaseh Sheni money. You can't use that money. Says the Gemara that the son woke up and he went under the tree and he found the money and he wants to know what to do. Says the Gemara, he can use the money. He can use the money. Even though there's Reglai Madov, it's very mistabel that the dream was true, correct? He told them exactly X on the map is over there. He went there and he found the money. It's very mistabel that the dream was true. But says the Gemara, lo malim v'lo meridim. We don't listen to dreams. Divrei chalomus lo malim v'lo meridim. They make no difference to us. You're right, he found it there, but it's not because of the dream. And he can use the money. This is Paskin El Halacha in the Choshen Mishpat in the Mechaba. It's Paskin in the Ramah. Right at the end of Hilchos Tzedakah, there's a long Ramah over there. He brings this also El Halacha. You can use it if such a thing happened. He can use it. Why? Because Divrei chalomus lo malim v'lo meridim. Ask the Shach, if so, Maharal Mirottenberg, again, why are you relying on a dream to allow the teacher to keep the money? Divrei chalomus lo malim v'lo meridim. Now, the Maharal Mirottenberg in the colloquial was no small fish. He was the Rosh. He's the God of the Dor of his time. He's the Rosh of all the Minhoge Ashkenaz. He's the Rebbe of the Rosh of the Modcha, the Smak of Rabbi Neperet, of the Ozarua, all the poskim that the Rama relies on for his Psokim in Shulchan Aruch, the Maharam Rothenberg was their Rebbe. So we can't just backhandedly get assume that he forgot the Gemara, obviously. So the question is, what's Pshat in the Maharam Rothenberg? Furthermore, the Ketzos writes on the Maharam Rothenberg in Shin Lamed Gimel about a different din, that Rav Chele, even if all the other poskim argue on the Maharam Rothenberg, we can be Motzi Momon if the Maharam Rothenberg said something. We can take money from A to B, even if everyone else says you can't. And normally we ignore Das Yochid. But at Maharam Rothenberg, not only to keep money by somebody, but to take it away and give it to somebody else, we can listen to the Maharam Rothenberg. So what is the Maharam Rothenberg thinking when he's relying on dreams if the Gemara says we can't? However, this question is not confined to the Shach against the Maharam Rothenberg. This question really can be asked on Shulchan Aruch, and our own practice is what we do, and in many places of Shulchan Aruch. Just to run down the different types of dreams, right? There's obviously a Nevuah. The Pasuk says in Baalotzcha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Miriam and Aaron after speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, he took them to the Ol Moed together with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, Moshe Rabbeinu is not all like other Nevi'im. Other Nevi'im, B'mare Esvadeloi, and B'chaloi Medaveboi. I speak to other Nevi'im in Chaloimas, I speak to them in dreams. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not like that. Loche Moshe Abdi, Per Per, Dabar Boy, I speak to him mouth to mouth, I have live conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Novi who had awake Nevuah while he was awake. All other Nevi'im have it when they were sleeping. The Gemara tells us in Brochus that dreams are 60th of Nevuah. So does that mean every dream is a Nevuah? How does it work? If Nevi'im had dreams, when did a Novi know if it was a dream, if it was a Novi, if it was a Nevuah? If they both happen at night time when he's sleeping. Says the Vilna Gaon, there are two big distinctions between a Nevuah and a dream. It says, in a Nevuah, the Novi knows he's having a dream. Unlike when we have dreams, that we live in the dream, as if it's real life, a Novi stands outside the dream and looks onto the images which are being shown to him in this dream. He knows it's a dream. Second distinction between the two is that the Novi understands at the time of the dream that the message he's being told in that dream. Not, he doesn't wake up and wonder, what does that mean? At the time of the dream, he already understands what he's being told. The other chilukim told in Rav Chaim Vital and that the Novi's body shakes and all that. There's clear chilukim between Nevuah and dreams. Okay, that's number one. There's other types of dreams, though. Apart from Nevuahs, there are dreams which you're just given yedias. People can be given insights into Torah, into other things. For instance, there are many examples of this. I'll just pick two interesting ones that I saw. The Chidor writes that Bris Mila, we say Al Hamila. The Bracha is Al Hamila. We say, ask the Chidor, why don't we say Al Mitzvah Mila Lomol? There are other answers given. The Chidor says he had a dream, and in his dream he was told the reason. He says Avraham and Sarah were the first parents of the first. Avraham was the first person to do Bris Mila, and Avraham and Sarah's child was the first son to have Bris Mila done to him. It says that the gematria of Al is 100, the gematria of Hamilo is 90, Avram was 100 and Sarah was 90, so you want to be meramas to Avram and Sarah in the Brocha of Bris Mila. Number one. Another one that Chidor brings down, that was a dream shown to him, it's shown to his grandfather. Another dream he brings, another explanation he says in the dream, oh this is seasonal. He asked the Baal HaChalomos, where's Yeshu and Miriam? Where's Yoshki and his mother? Where are they marumas in the Torah? Yeshua Miriam, where are they marumas in the Torah? And he was told in the Chaloim, in the Pasuk, Elohei Necha Haoretz, the gods of the nations of the world. The gematria of Yeshu or Miriam is 612. The gematria of Elohei Necha Haoretz is 612. So that's why it's marumas in the Torah. So it can be given, those dreams can be taken for what they are, they can be left, they can be appreciated for how they are. They're not necessarily life-changing, they are insights. A third type of dream, and this is where it comes up a lot in the Gemara in Brochas, is a whole sugya towards the end of Brochas, but in Daf Nun Hei to Nun Zayin, all about dreams. It's a treasure trove of different things that people are shown in dreams and what they mean. Bar-hedi. And, sorry? Bar-hedi over there, right. That's it, yeah. He refers to Bar-hedi as an interpreter who, if a person paid him, interpreted it for good. And if he wasn't paid, interpreted for bad. Eventually he was killed in a horrible way by a king. But over there, the Gemara clearly says that the same sign, let's say a well, a be'er, a bird, a mountain, can all be good signs in a dream. The Gemara says that tzaddikim are not shown good dreams. Tzaddikim are shown only bad dreams because they wake up in a shock and they do teshuva. While rishoyim are shown good signs, so they should be complacent and they won't do teshuva and they'll be punished for what they've done wrong. These dreams are things which will happen in the future, and people are given simonim, different simonim. Gemara in Sanhedrin says, if you're shown a red horse, if a person's shown a red horse in a dream, it's a bad sign. A white horse is a good sign. All fascinating sugya that can be looked at. It's riveting. And these dreams, the Gemara says, we can do hatovas chaloim, as is printed in the Siddur. Someone who has a bad dream can do hatovas chaloim. The Gemara says, should do hatovas chaloim. Make the dream good. You get three people, and there's a whole thing there to be said.
Friends.
For three friends. Three friends to make it good. Who want your best, right? Your best interests at heart. And they make it good for you. That's how Thomas Chalon, the Briskerov, is known to have done that constantly. People are not sure if it was done for his own dreams or other people. You know, we say in the Tefillah, we say, Bein Shechalamti Alach and Bein Shechom Achayim Olai. So you can do it for both. You can do, if a person has a bad dream for himself, or if you're scared other people have had bad dreams about it. The Gemara says, in Berchus Koinem, what do? We say Rabbeinu Shalom, and we say Yehi Ratzon. In the first two brachas, we say Rabbeinu Shalom. What's that saying? Rabbeinu Shalom, Cholom Chalom, Ve'en Yudei Amahu. I had a dream, I don't know what it is. The Gemara says, if somebody has a dream, and they don't know what it is, that means they remember they had a dream, but they can't remember if it was good or bad, they don't know what the content of that dream is, they should say a brach, they should say a tefillah during Berchus Koinem, that the dream should come out of the Tovah. Just the Torah Chaim in Baba Kama explains why do we do it during Berachas Koinem. I've always wanted that. And in fact, the Torah Chaim says that the Koinem are having a Nevoah. The Shekhinah comes down to the Koinem during Berachas Koinem. They're having a so-called Nevoah. That's a full-fledged Nevoah. And a dream is said, as we said in the Gemara, to be 1/60th of a Nevoah. Now, Bittul works 1/60 is Bottle. It's a spiritual type of Bittul that we present the dream to the Shekhinah at the time when it's there, so to speak, to be mevatel the bad influence that the dreams might have. Now, these are paskin halacha, right? The Hatovas Chaloim in Or HaChaim in Reish Chof, and this during the Sias Kapayim to do it is in Reish Lamed. The Mishnah Berurah there asks, why do we do it? The Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, you're only supposed to say this Rabbeinu Shalom if you think you had a dream and you can't remember what the dream is. We do it anyway. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't do it, by the way. On Yom Tov, they don't say these Rabbeinu Shalom. They only say the last one, which is a Kabbalah thing. The first one that goes, but we say all these Rabbeinu Shel Olams.
Why?
Because the Gemara says you should only do it if you know you had a dream and you can't remember if it was good or bad. Well, they used to duchen every day. Now we only do it. Actually, that's half the answer. Sheilas Chacham Chatzi Tshuva, the Hafsa Shekel says that the reason why on Yom Tov is because we can bank on the fact that between Yom Tov and Yom Tov, there's been a dream that you once knew about and you've kind of forgotten, and you should do a tefillah for it. The Bir Halacha then, Mishnah Berurah asks, okay, that's good for first day Yom Tov, what about second day Yom Tov? Second day Yom Tov, so he asks, what are you going to say? That's for the people that other people had dreamed on you last night. You know you didn't have a dream last night, between the first and second day Yom Tov. Maybe somebody else had a dream. He says, if so, we should only start from the end of the tefillah, not from the beginning. The beginning is, Rabbeinu Shalom, Cholom Chalamti, Vayin Yodei Mahu, I had a dream. We should have started, Bein Shechalamti Alatz, Mi Bein Shechom Achayim Olai, when other people had a dream about me. He leaves that Tzorachim, why we do that. That's the dreams of Asidos. Then we come to...
How does it actually help you to know if it's good or bad? You're better off not knowing.
Better off?
What are you going to do?
Well, if it's bad, you can do our Tovas Chalom. And if it's good, then you can be very happy. The Gemara says the Rishonim are given it because Reb Yosef was blind. And he says, I have no enjoyment in life. But a good dream, for me,
it
gives me enjoyment.
Good means what?
In fact, the Gemara says, the schar of having a good dream...
I'll tell you.
The Gemara says the idea of having a good dream is not because of what's going to happen. Because as you're saying, that will happen anyway. Either it will or it won't happen. But the good thing of a good dream is the enjoyment you'll have in the morning of having the good dream. The Gemara says that. That's what Rabbi said when he woke up. For me, that's the enjoyment.
Feel good.
That's the schar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have sent you a lottery, and instead he sent you a good dream. Geshmak.
It could be because he's blind, he couldn't see here, he could see something that was clever.
Yeah, but yeah, absolutely. He had the vision, he could visualize it.
Why good luck? I'd rather have the lottery
straight. We'd prefer to have a lottery. A dream about a lottery perhaps.
Why good luck to win the lottery?
Right, okay, the final dream I'd like to mention is more to do with halachas. This is also brought in Shulchan Aruch all over the place. Let's say the Gemara discusses in the Dorm Dach Ches. Discusses a dream somebody is put in a nidoy, put an excommunication in a dream. Min hashamayim, put someone comes, a rod, a tzaddik comes to him in a dream and puts him in a nidoy. Says the Gemara, when he wakes up, he has to conduct himself as if he's put in a nidoy. He can't make up a minion. He can't. He shouldn't socialize amongst people. All the things that are the dinim of the halachas of a cheirim and a nidoy, which appear in Yeridea, he has to keep. Says the Gemara, even more. What happens in the same dream? He was put in a nidoy, and he was taken out of the nidoy. He had a heter. Says the Gemara, when he wakes up, he still has to conduct himself as if he was put in a nidoy, because we take on that the person who put him in a nidoy, we worry, perhaps, the person who put him in the nidoy was sent as a shliach min hashamayim to put him in the nidoy. But when he came to take him out of the nidoy, that was devarim batalim, like Rashi says on this week's parsha. There's no dream without devarim batalim. You can't have tavor without kash. You can't have produce without the straws. So too, Yosef in his dream, when he dreamed about Rachel coming, the moon, that couldn't happen. But that was one of the simonim that was a true dream, because dreams happen with Dvarim B'Talim in them. Therefore, with Choshesh, that the nidah was true. The Rishonim extrapolate, well, it's Machlokes Rishonim, onto a case of a nidah. What happens if somebody's sleeping and makes a promise and then makes a nidah in his dream? So the Rashba says, that's the same as a nidah. The same way as if you put in a nidah in Min HaShemayim in a dream, you have to conduct yourself accordingly. So too, if someone makes a nidah in a dream, they have to have Hataras Nadarim, they have to go and undo the nidah.
No, but with a nidoy, it can't be just a stammer.
To put him in a nidoy, it'd have to be someone who's qualified to do that. Yeah. And to take him out, says the Shulchan Aruch, La Halacha, in Shin Lamadal in Yeridei, you'd have to have 10 people to take you out. And if you can't find 10 people, b'diavad, you can do it with 3. But like a regular nidoy. So what if he makes a nidoy in a dream? So the Rashba says it's the same thing. The Rosh argues, he says, no, it's not the same, because a nidoy, you need to speak. A nidoy, someone else puts you in a nidoy. So in a dream, the person can put you in a nidoy. Shamayim can put you in a nidoy. A nidoy, you have to make a promise, you have to make yourself. In a dream, you're not really speaking, so that doesn't count. The Rashba says it has the same dinim. There's interesting, the Pisli Teshuva there, in Siman Reish Yud, in Yeridea, brings two examples of a dream. One is a chasam sofer, someone promised not to eat kebrokht, and he said it counted. Another one is a radvaz, who says somebody borrowed money. Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and he had to pay back in a month's time. And he made a promise in his dream that I'm going to pay back in a week's time. I'm going to pay totes amano. I'm going to pay back. Came to the Radvaz. What's the halacha? The Radvaz says he has to keep it. And he didn't say that you can get hataras nadarim. The Radvaz does not tell him that you can go and get your heta to be. You can get a heta on your neder. Says you have to keep it. Says the Pisle Chur. It's mashma from here two things. First of all, that the Rosh would agree in this case, because the Radvaz doesn't bring any machlokas. Says Pisle Chur says it's mashma that here even the Rosh who said that a neder is different from a nidoy on a neder which is to do something good, to pay totes amano, to pay off your chayv that you're chayv. It's a good thing to do. Then lizruzi min hashamayim also the shamayim is coming to be mezaris him, and that you can't and that counts. That counts even according to all opinions. Not only that, you can't get hataras nadarim on it. Why? Because the shamayim are sending you a siman that this is something good to do. You can't don't get yourself. If Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if it sends you a siman that you should do X, Y, and Z, then you should jolly well do X, Y, and Z. That's Tshuva Sarat. That was also brought in the Pisle Tshuva there in Siman Reish Yud. Finally, clearly, the Shulchan Aruch relies on dreams, right? The Gemaras, Shulchan Aruch, and ourselves, we do go with dreams. So the question of the Shach, when he asks, Divrei Chalom Shel Malan V'Lemirin, is obviously bigger, it's far greater than just being on this single Maran Rottenberg. It encompasses lots of places in the Shulchan Aruch. And that brings us to Maran Rottenberg, who brings halachas in dreams. He says, I saw such and such a halacha from Malach Gavriel, the Balach Halevis came to me, and he told me such and such a halacha, I want to follow it. That brings us there. In fact, there's a whole Teshuva Sefer called Teshuvas Min HaShemayim, written by one of the Bali Tosfos, the Rimu Rish, who writes a whole Sefer of Halochas that were told to him by the Balach Halomas. And it's brought down, it's a Tosfos, Bali Tosfos, one of the Rishonim, and it's brought down many times at Halocha. It's a matter, it's a point of contention whether or not we do follow it, we don't follow that. But that's what we find. So I would like to give two possible approaches of how to understand this, and I'll bring Rabbeinu Bachai in this week's parsha. Rabbeinu Bachai, on the dream of Paroi, says that dreams can come from three possible sources. One is ma'acholim, two is machshavos, and three is chizuk ha'nefesh. What's ma'acholim? Food. So if a person eats lots of food, that can cause a chemical imbalance in the mind. It can produce images and dreams during the night, and that's Dvarim Batalim, no reason to pay any notice to it. This is Paskin in the Orach HaShulchan, and some Reish Chof in Orach Chaim. Sorry?
Hallucinations.
Sorry? Yeah, hallucinations, yeah. In a dream. And the Orach HaShulchan says, see, if a person eats a lot before he goes to sleep and then has dreams, there's no reason to be Mesiachis to those dreams. The second category that Rabbeinu Bachai brought comes from Machshavas. That's a Gemara, really. The Gemara says, Rava says, that we don't find people dreaming about loy dikla de dava, veloy pilo bekufta de kupa de machta. We don't find people dreaming about golden trees or elephants squeezing through the eye of needles, because these things people don't think about during the day, and therefore they don't come up in the dreams. Dreams come from the thoughts of a person. Again, Rabbeinu Bachai says, there's no reason to pay attention. That's the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar that happened in Daniel over there. He says that's also falls into that category. And there's no reason. The Chazon Ish, this is not taken on by everyone, but the Chazon Ish actually told people in his day that there's no reason to worry about dreams nowadays, because it all comes for, we have such wild thoughts during the day. Who do you think you are, a Navi? No, you're not a Navi. So all the thoughts you have during the day are coming out at night, and there's no reason to worry about that. As I said, the Briskerov did do Hatovas Chaloim daily, almost daily. So that's a point of contention, but that's how the Chazon Ish learned. It's brought in Maisarav, that halacha. And the third category, thank you, is the Chizuk HaNefesh, says Rabbeinu Bachai. Things which come, we all have a nefesh inside of us, he describes it as a subconscious. He says it like this: during the day, the conscious is working overtime, we're working with cheshbonos, what we are doing, what we're not doing, what we should be doing, what other people should be doing. And our conscious mind doesn't allow our subconscious, our nefesh, to bring out the messages it wants to tell us. The intuition which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in our nefesh isn't allowed to come out. But at night time, when our conscious is dormant, and then our nefesh can give us messages, and those messages have to be followed. And those are the messages which you do Achavos Chalom on, and all these halachas that we do are going on those types of dreams. He says that's why the Gemara says that nowadays Nevuah is left with Tinoikos and Shoitim. Children and Shoitim. Why? Because their conscience is not as developed to disturb the thoughts that should be there, and that's why they have... So Rabbeinu Bachai, those thoughts can be kept. Very good. This had brought the halacha in the Taz, let's say on Shabbos. You can do, someone who has a bad dream on Shabbos is allowed to do Tanis Chalom. You can can fast on Shabbos if he's worried about his dream, to do Teshuvah because he's worried about the dream. Says the Taz that brought in the Mishnah Berurah there, that if he thought about this thing during the day, this dream that he had, thinking about it during the day, no need to do Tanis Chalom. He can't do Tanis Chalom on Shabbos. The Kafa Chaim says, what does it mean thinking about that day? It means that day literally. Monday you thought about it, Monday night the person had the dream. If you thought about it on Monday during the day, you had the dream on Tuesday night, says the Kafa Chaim, that doesn't count. Then there is a reason to do Tanis Chalom. Says the Shavus Yaakov. The Gemara is going back to the Gemara. The questions we had from the Shach onto the Maram Rotabo. One Gemara was a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed, where the person went to sleep and his father came to him and said, the money is in place X, but it's Sadaka money. Says the Shavus Yaakov, there the Gemara doesn't just say he went to sleep. It says that he was Mahar Alav Kolet, he was thinking about it all day. He was with star on that money. He was worrying, where's that money of my father? Says the Shavus Yaakov, Dafk, in such a case, the Gemara says, Divrei Chalom is Lemalim Velo Meridim. Like this task, because he's worrying about it, therefore the dreams have no importance, because he's worrying about it. Therefore, possibly, the Maharam Rotenberg hadn't been thinking about these halachas. He knew that he hadn't been thinking about these halachas that day. They came to him in a dream. He felt right. No reason not to rely on the Baal HaChalom. The Shach, who assumed that he brings this Gemara and assumes that the Maharam had been thinking about it that day, or he had a different pshat in the Gemara perhaps, is not necessarily difficult on the Maharam, because he perhaps learned like the Shavus Yaakov then. A second tariff, perhaps more conventional, is a Tashbat. The Tashbat says that the Loshon of the Gemara, he picks up the Loshon of the Gemara, Lo Malin Velo Meridin. Why doesn't the Gemara just say Batalim? What's Lo Malin Velo Meridin? It's like a Sophic type of Loshon. Not this way, not that way. We don't change the status quo. We don't do anything too radical. Says the Tashbat, dreams create a Sophic. It means what the dream told us perhaps is true, perhaps is not. It's enough for us to create a Sophic in our mind. Therefore, if A has money and the dream tells you to give it to B, we won't give it to B. But if A has money and you think it belongs to B, then we'll let A keep it. You can keep. We won't change the status quo. The dream will make a sophic that the person who has the money can keep it. Therefore, the case of the Malamed, the teacher, who had been prepaid for his services and didn't show up, he became ill, he has the money in his hand. The Maharam Rothenberg says that the Malamed can keep that money. Even though he didn't teach for the days, he can keep that money. He need not return it, because the dream is enough to create the Sofer. The dream told me that the Malamed can keep the money, he has a right to keep it. It's enough for me to paskin that he can keep the money. I wouldn't say that he has to pay somebody else, but enough to keep the money he can. Similarly, the Balabayas, where the Maharam Rothenberg paskin that you can pay with food, if the Balabayas doesn't have money to pay the worker, he only has food to pay the worker, the food that the worker had been working with, the butcher, the fish shop, when the employer had been working in the shop, and the Balabais wants to pay with that food. Similarly, what would be the halacha if not for this dream? The halacha would be that the Balabais has to go and borrow money. Or he has to go and sell his thing. Says Maharam Rothenberg, I have a dream that tells me he doesn't have to sell, he doesn't have to borrow money. That's enough for me to say, keep the status quo. You're right, you don't have to go and get money, you can go and give. You can go and give. There's lots more to talk about on this subject. I'll leave it at that. And good Shabbos.
Next time we can share about dreams, about wonderful stories, about the labor of the world.